In 2015, all countries received a universal call to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure that all people enjoy peace, prosperity, and equality by 2030. This call, made by the United Nations, is referred to as the Sustainable Development Goals, which is a collection of 17 interlinked global goals designed to give our planet a better future, with a vision of leaving no one behind. With the ongoing climate crisis unfolding before our eyes, the call to action by the United Nations to ensure universal access to affordable and renewable energy services must not be neglected.
We are Maria,
Clara,
Tihan,
and Sahil.
And you are listening to Here Comes the Sun, a podcast focused on solar energy. But first, to start off the discussion, did you know that 1 out of 10 persons do not have access to electricity? That is approximately 759 million of the world's population globally. This makes it very challenging for these people to carry out everyday activities such as heating and lighting their homes. Therefore, the majority of this population rely often on solid fuels, such as charcoal, which is a big contribution to the high rate of deforestation globally and also pose health risks to its users. Hence, without equal access to clean, modern, and affordable energy, achieving the SDGs will be impossible.
For this week's episode, we will talk about solar energy. We will go on a journey with our audience to understand the capabilities, opportunities, and limitations of solar energy by interviewing stakeholders in market systems, tech sector advocates for green energy, and solar-powered homeowners. We are sure that some of our listeners may already fall within one of these categories. But before we dive deeper, introduce our guests. Maria, can you throw more light on other forms of clean energy?
Solar energy may be the most well-known green energy. However, there are other alternative sources of energy available, such as wind power, hydropower, geothermal, and biomass. All of these make use of natural resources that are easily found in the air, water, and land. You can do so much with these other energy sources as well, such as cooking, taking baths, heating up houses. I even watched a documentary on Netflix where they even cooked bread and boiled eggs on a hot spring beach in Iceland. How amazing is that?
Wow! There are so many alternative sources of renewable energy available to us then. But I'm sure our listeners want to know more. Why solar energy? What is the first?
Did you know that 1 hour of sunlight is equivalent to a year's worth of energy for the planet? So, throughout history, solar is the cheapest form of energy since it is the most abundant form of energy on Earth. The icing on the cake is when compared to burning fossil fuels, which, by the way, requires an indefinite and long period to replenish, coupled with the negative effects on our dying planet, solar is one of the most environmentally friendly sources of energy, as its production does not result in any pollution when used to generate electricity. But the question still remains, why hasn't everyone switched to solar energy yet?
Interesting facts there, Maria. But to answer your question on why solar energy is not the primary source of energy used for electricity all over the world, we have invited guests whom we consider to play various critical roles in the governance of sustainability, where the need for clean and renewable sources of energy in regard to climate change response is still not met.
Personally, we have been considering installing solar panels for our home, and we have done a lot of readings on it, on policies, search for the maintenance fee and the installation cost, and so on. So I'm very excited that we have a guest on the show who has already installed solar panels in their home.
Yeah, we look forward to our audience gaining a lot of practical knowledge from this podcast as well. But Jeon, what did you find out about the solar panel installation policies in Belgium?
Belgium has big ambitions. Having 14% of renewable energy by 2030 is the goal. and currently it's only 7.9%. So in the Belgian region where I live, Flanders, the Ministry of Energy decided to compensate differently from 2021. So now they offer like certain compensation for PV installation, like maximum 40% of the installation fee and around 1,000 to 1,500 euros per PV system. And most of the households do not have batteries as it is relatively expensive and not very efficient or necessary. So the leftover energy made can be sold to the energy provider. And depending on the energy provider, they buy it from like 4 to 19 cents euro per kilowatt per hour. However, the policy has been changing and also depends on the region is different. We have our first guest on today's podcast, Doyeon Kim. Doyeon lives in the city of Brussels and she has solar panels on her house. Let's listen what her motivation was to install and how Brussels government intervened and if it changed her lifestyle. What was your motivation to install the solar panels?
Our major motivation is because we've heard that not only we can save the money and it's better for our planet. So that's why we decide to install the solar panel. Yeah, it's because we can save the money. It's because all installation was for free. I don't know another region is the same type of subsidy, but here in Brussels, there are some Brussels. The name of agency, government agency. Charge of the solar energy is Brussels. So we install our panel solar via Brussels. So it's Brussels government agency, and all installation and maintenance are worth for free. So I mean, they came to our house for installation, and they gave us some access on specific application to monitor of gain of solar energy, and then they after they contact our electricity supplier company to calculate how much we should pay per month for electricity. I think on average we save like between 10 or 15 euros per month for of our saving.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it depends on the totally on weather. We are in some way so proud to be able to contribute to our planet by using some renewable energy.
Well, it seems like local governments in Belgium are trying hard to make solar energy more affordable and available for the citizens. Now let's have a look at other countries. Sahil, your parents have solar panels installed in their home in India, right?
Yes, that's right.
Ah, great. Then I guess the policies in India will differ from here in Belgium. Can you tell us briefly if there are any such policies, and also what other technicalities are there in place?
Yes, well, solar power in India is a fast developing industry as part of the renewable energy push that India has. Like the initial target for the country was around 20 gigawatt capacity for 2022, which was achieved 4 years ahead of schedule, which shows that how serious the people are in India. In 2015, the target was raised to 100 gigawatts of solar capacity. And overall, even there are support mechanisms like the Electricity Act of 2003, which gives certain privileges and quotas for opting of renewable energy for general people. And the Solar Mission encouraged private solar companies by reducing the import duty of solar panels by 5%. So this fiscal changes will also helps. However, there are different policies at different state level, but there are some subsidies that always exist in each and every state for a consumer. And overall, they have allowed like excess energy generation by the solar panels to be fed back into the grid. Although the fares are sometimes predetermined and it changes according to different electricity boards.
Oh, great. That's interesting. Thanks, Sahil, for the in-depth information. But we do know the cost for installing a solar system is high. Here in Belgium, the average cost for a 5-kilowatt peak power solar system ranges from 6,000 euros to 10,000 euros. And this seems to pose another challenge of injustice where people with low economic status may not be able to afford. Maria, do you see a way that this can be addressed?
So electricity and light are basic needs of mankind, so everyone should have access to it, right? And though the cost of installation and also possibly the maintenance of solar panels is high, in the long run, it seems to be more cost efficient as it lasts from 25 to 30 years and you get great savings on your electricity bills. There are definitely options of acquiring affordable solar power for low-income and off-grid communities, which have been demonstrated by some non-government organizations around the world. We have another guest on the show today, Paulina, who worked with 1 Million Lights, an NGO based in the Philippines that distributes solar-powered lamps to off-grid communities around the Philippines. Hi, Paulina. How are you today?
Hey, Maria. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on today's podcast episode about solar energy. Firstly, I want to know, in the context of the Philippines, do you think that clean or solar energy is relevant?
Yes, so clean energy is very, very relevant in the Philippines because a lot of Filipinos, over 1 million Filipino families, still don't have access to any form of power. And these Filipinos use kerosene lamps, which are detrimental for a whole slew of reasons. So, for example, using a kerosene lamp for a night is equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes. So this is the same air that's breathed in by old women and men and children. So can you imagine this has a whole bunch of effects on long-term respiratory health? It's also one of the most expensive forms of lighting in the world. Because you have to pay daily to get the kerosene. And since this is used by families living in extreme poverty, it can take up to 30% of income. You know, this income could go to education, can go to health emergencies as capital to livelihood. So having to depend on this type of energy, which is inefficient, which isn't healthy, it's not sustainable, really hinders development in these parts of the world. Energy is one of the most basic building blocks of development because it enables, easier work, safety, security, productivity, and overall just a better quality of life. So by being able to provide something as simple as a light, you're really able to change the life of a family that lives in an off-grid area. So if you think about it, what more bigger forms of energy? It's really one of the most important things right now.
To understand the life cycle recyclability of solar systems, along with the role solar energy can play in the global transition to clean and sustainable energy, we now interview Mario Gali from Spain, who runs an engineering firm called Idelia Energy that specializes on photovoltaic sector. The interview mostly focuses on Mario's personal opinion about the life cycle of solar panels, his understanding on the environmental impact of the technology, and recycling of these panels again. There are certain challenges in clean energy transition that is also being discussed.
When it comes to like the life cycle of a solar panel itself, like how if you can just briefly explain about how is it generated, Okay.
And after like 25 years or 30 years of the life of the solar panel, there are some companies that are allowed to recycle, because you can recycle up to 95% of the materials that are made of the solar panels. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Got it. And what about the battery? Because you do you have also?
Yes, but I not recommend to use the batteries, because the life cycle is much less than the solar panels. For example, the media is like 15 years, maybe. Right. After 15 years, you have to recycle the batteries. And but I think it's not you cannot recycle as many items as like with the solar panels.
Right, right. And when it comes to the production of silicon and all that, is there any specific pollution attached to it, like mining aspects of it?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not pretty sure about how they obtain the silicon. Okay, but as everything, you have to destroy some nature to have the to get the item. So we all know that it's like a friendly energy, but to produce this friendly energy, you need to destroy some of the nature. These items, these materials, is not as bad as like other energies, conventional energies.
Got it. And if it's up to you, do you think you'd recommend to use solar panels or solar energy for all the domestic usage?
I think it's going to help to lose less energy, because the main problem with energy is the transportation. You know, you produce the energy, and to get the energy from one point to another, you maybe lose 33% of the energy that is produced. So if you put like small generations around the country, around the city, you're gonna get the electricity more efficiently, you know. But of course, you need other energies to combine with solar energy, because you are only gonna get energy there during the day. But for example, if you combine this with eolic or storage with hydrogen, that is starting to be an alternative to storage energy, I think you can survive with these two energies and with the hydrogen storage.
Actually, just one more thing quickly, because in Belgium, at least, we got to know that the prices of electricity is going to increase, because the nuclear plants are getting shut down in France, and like the transition is a little bit it's not as smooth as one would imagine. So and things like that. So do you think solar has the potential to bridge that transition?
I think it's one of the energy that can reach this point, but not alone. As I told you, is you need to combine this energy with another ones. Maybe I think I'm pro with the nuclear energy, you know. Right. I approve nuclear energy. I think it's one of the best energy in the world. If you control these big generation plants, the fuel that you use is very, very small, you know, with the nuclear. And you gain stability. That is a point that you cannot reach with the solar energy.
These are very insightful interviews and discussions.
Yes, that was very interesting.
Well, Sahil, do you have any final remarks?
Yes, it was clear from the interviews that solar technology is very versatile, and it can be used in small micro scales and even larger grid scales if needed. However, it's important to note that solar is not as environmentally friendly as we initially thought, and there is pollution attached to it. The negative environmental impact of solar panels mostly comes at the initial stage of solar cell production, as it requires mining of silicon. There are additional equipments usually used, like batteries and inverters. They also require extractive process to manufacture them. And solar panels seem to have high recycling capacity, as it was discovered in the interview, but it's still not clear on how it will be done, especially in remote areas where a lot of these solar equipment is being distributed. Overall, solar energy may not be as clean as we thought, and because of the environmental degradation that exists in the supply chain, but it is significantly better alternative to fossil fuels, and it certainly plays a vital role in energy transition.
What about you guys, Dion and Maria? What do you think?
Despite some challenges and arguments that solar energy has at the moment, I found out a lot of positive aspects. With the development of technology, we can expect higher efficiency, longer lifetime of the facility like the PV panels, and bigger battery capacity will be introduced with more affordable prices. I am more than convinced to install the solar panels and generate renewable energy at our own home, as it is not just for saving electricity bills, but also plays a way bigger role for sustainability. I will be more than proud to be one of the contributors.
For me, environmental governance plays a key role in driving the solar energy sector, and different actors such as governments, private companies, and NGOs are working on making solar energy affordable and accessible to everyone. And it surely contributes to the quality of life of many people around the world, most especially those who live in rural, off-grid areas.
Well, so today we've learned that solar energy is a source to bring not only environmental sustainability, but also social sustainability. When we talk about social sustainability, the two-fold equity is an important issue. And for sure, solar energy is key for intergenerational and intragenerational equity that bridges the gap between the current and future generations and also between the developed and developing regions of the world. That's all for today's episode. Tune in to the next one.
Have a bright and sunny day.